Praise the Lord. Microphone's on. We are recording. Good morning, everybody. It's a beautiful day here in northern Vermont. It was 0 degrees when we left the house this morning. Somebody says, is that plus zero or negative zero? It's zero. It's the center of the number line. Praise God. Right cool out there. On the other hand, when it's nice and cold, it's sunny. Being from South Florida, used to lots of sunshine, I like sunny. I don't like cloudy and overcast for weeks at a time. So, Jackie, you're missing some beautiful weather. We got about a foot of snow total. Not so much here because the wind has whipped it off the mound system and scattered it around. People are out ice fishing. The crazy ones. It's bad enough out there ice fishing when it's in the 20s, but when it's zero with the wind whipping, no. That's a little too cold. A little too cold for me, anyway.
Hello, Jim. We miss you.
Yep, absolutely. Jim Bodenstein, you had a birthday a couple days ago. We love you and miss you. So I want to talk this morning about joy. The message is, got joy, with a question mark. Or got joy? And I realized this week that I often emphasize that things happen in everybody's life. You've heard me say it many times, how rain falls on the just and the unjust, how Peter said don't be surprised about the firing trial that's to test you as though some strange thing happened. And I realized I tend to focus a lot on the fact that we have peace through the turmoil. We have hope through the turmoil. But the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So my question is, do we have joy? Do we have joy in the midst of everything that's going on? And it's like, well, I go through some pretty rough stuff, so how in the world can I possibly have joy? Well, we sang about the same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us. We are, and greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We have on the inside the Spirit of God quickening us and giving us his strength, giving us his joy. The question is, do we focus on that, or do we focus on the downside, the negatives, the things that are going on around us? Sometimes I find myself, catch myself, not concentrating on the things that bring joy. Not concentrating on just realizing who God is and what he's done in my life. I want to start with Hebrews 12, beginning with verse 1. Writer of Hebrews, some people think it's Paul, may very well be, don't know, it's never said. Says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to stop right there for just a minute. Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, went through everything Jesus went through. You go reading in Isaiah, in the prophecies about it, reading in the Psalms. Psalm 22 is one of the messianic psalms. Reading in the Gospels, the things that Jesus went through, where he was beaten, he was mocked, he was spit upon, he had his beard plucked out, he had the crown of thorns shoved on his head, he was nailed to a cross. The scripture says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured all of that. For the joy that was set before him. So as we go through things in this life, and I'm very, very guilty of focusing on the things that are going on and not focusing on the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. The joy of the Lord, which says that everything we go through is temporary. Regardless to how much, I mean, if from the day we're born until the day we die, we are suffering the entire time, which is not the case for most of us. But even if that were the case, it's still a very short period of time. Do we focus on the joy that is set before us? Do we focus on recognizing that in heaven there is rejoicing when one person repents? And if there is rejoicing when a person repents, why aren't we rejoicing the fact that God has already redeemed our lives from destruction? That whatever we go through is temporary. Whatever comes up doesn't change the fact that what God has already done in us is worthy of rejoicing, is worthy of being joyful, is worthy of just giving praise every moment of every day. I don't know what your life was like before you met Jesus. I know what my life was like before I came back to Jesus, because I grew up in a church and walked away for many years. And I know how messed up I was. And I praise God that I'm not that person anymore. I am so grateful for the changes that God has worked in me, God has made in me, and He's continuing to do, and He's continuing to do it each and every day. That if I just fix my mindset on who God is, what He has already done, the promises that are laid out in front of me, the fact that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world, the fact that no matter what comes along, it has to come, if it comes into my life, it comes through the hands of a God who loves me, who protects me. That even the bad things are things that He has already said He's going to work together for my good. No matter what comes up, God loves me. And I know that. But I don't always act like I know that. Continuing on. Consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Do we ever get weary and discouraged about the things that are going on because we've forgotten what Jesus went through on our behalf? I do. Again, I know it. But that doesn't mean it's always the forefront of my thoughts, the forefront of my conversation. So when I say, do you have joy? Got joy? Question mark. Do we allow the joy of the Lord to filter through us that no matter what comes our way, we're still the beloved of the Father? No matter what comes our way, we are still His treasures. No matter what comes up in our lives, we are still loved and cared for and guided. And even when we're corrected, as we're going to hear about here in just a minute, even when we're corrected, it is for our good. Whatever comes into our lives, God has promised to work it together for good. Doesn't mean it's all pleasant. Doesn't mean it's all fun. Doesn't even mean most of it is. But what it means is that God is at work using those things that have come up, living in this lost and fallen world, to make us more like Jesus, to make us more forgiving, to make us more loving, to make us more gracious. We were having a conversation earlier about how you word things. And being able to share a thought in such a way that it communicates the point without becoming an attack, or communicates a point that in such a way that people have to stop and think about it. Things that come up in our lives. I am from the swamps. I am literally from the swamps. Okay? I used to tell people I'm from so far back in the sticks, we don't have sticks, we have sawgrass. I grew up in the Everglades. You know, alligators, now pythons, pythons, all that kind of good stuff down there. Key deer. Fully grown 12-point buck. Not 3 foot tall. You know? A whole different culture, a whole different way of looking at things. I'm not a sophisticated person, or at least I didn't grow up that way. It wasn't until I started school, till I started first grade, before I ever saw a white person that I wasn't very closely related to. Seminoles and black people. Poor part of town. That was where I grew up. You know, once we moved out of the swamps into civilization, that's where I grew up. So certainly not upper echelon, silver spoon, cultured, none of that. Yet God is at work, and God is continuing to change me, and He's continuing to change you. He's continuing to work in each and every one of us. He knit us together in our mother's womb, knows everything about us, only allows things to come into our life that He has a plan that He's going to bring about our good. that we have joy and grace and mercy in that. Do we focus on who God is and what He's doing in our lives, or do we focus on how the situation feels at the moment? But where am I at? Verse 4 says, "You have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin, and have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons, saying, 'My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him.'" We look at our circumstances as though God is punishing us. And even when God is trying to correct us, and even when God is trying to direct us, we just look at it as, I don't know why God would allow something like that to come into my life. How many times have you talked to people, and you hear them say something like, "How could a loving God allow such and such?" We hear it all the time. Prayerfully, we don't hear it from people who know who God is. But we hear it, that sort of thing, all the time. God is at work in us. He rejoices over us. He is working in us to show the world who He is. And sometimes that means He has to show what it's like to suffer graciously. My question is, when we're suffering, are we suffering graciously, or are we just suffering? When we're going through difficult times, are we giving praise to God because we recognize that He loves us and He's at work in us? Do we have joy in the fact that if God is allowing this into my life, it's for a purpose and He has something great and wonderful through it? Or do we just look at difficulties as difficulties? Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning with verse 5. So, everybody knows the story of Nehemiah. Everybody knows the story of Ezra. Ezra was sent back to rebuild the temple. Nehemiah was sent back afterwards to rebuild the walls of the city of Jerusalem. So after the walls of the city of Jerusalem are built, Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning with verse 5. Ezra the priest opened the book in the sight of the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all of the people stood up, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, "Amen, amen," while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbathiah, Hodijah, Maaseiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peleiah, and the Levites helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So, somebody teaching the word is a common thing. It's been going on for a long time. So, it's a good thing to have people share. Doesn't mean everybody gets it right, but that's a little side note, you know. But they stood in place, and so they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. That gave the sense is like what I call the real New English translation, where this is what the Word of God says, and this is putting it in modern language. They gave the sense. This is what He's talking about. So you have Ezra reading, and you have all these leaderships, the people in leadership helping the people to understand what the Word of God says. Verse 9, "And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and the scribe and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, 'This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep.' For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." Here is a day. Remember, the children of Israel were in captivity for 70 years. They went into captivity. This is Judah and the tribe of Judah. They were taken into captivity after the northern kingdom had already been taken away. They were taken into captivity because of their sins. The land was given a Sabbath rest. So for 70 years they were gone. And when they came back, and Ezra the priest is reading, and these leaders of the Levites are explaining things to him, and people are recognizing that they've sinned. People are recognizing that the things that have gone on in their lives have gone on because God is righteous, and a righteous God cannot overlook sin. can't just let it pass. A righteous God declared it. So here the people are, and they recognize that they and their fathers had sinned, and they're weeping, and the governor, Nehemiah, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levite said, no, wait a minute. Don't do that. This day is holy to the Lord. This is the day that God has brought you back. Remember what the scripture says in the New Testament? I mentioned it a few minutes ago about heaven rejoicing over one person repenting. This is the day that God had brought the people back. And as they came back and they heard the words of the law, they recognized that God's ways are righteous, and they were weeping because of the sin of their fathers. And he said, no, don't weep. This is a holy day of the Lord. God has redeemed you. God has brought you back. Verse 10. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. God redeemed them. God brought them back, just as God has worked in each and every one of our lives, to redeem our lives from destruction, to forgive our sins, and to draw us into his family, and draw us into his house. And because of that, we can rejoice each and every day, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. So when I say, do you have joy? Do we recognize what God has done in our lives? Do we recognize that as we come face to face with Scripture, we cannot stand before a holy God, but because what Jesus has done on our behalf, laying down His life for us, paying the price for our sin, imparting unto us His righteousness, we can come boldly into the throne room of grace because of what He has done. Do we rejoice in that? Or do we focus on the turmoil? Do we focus on the things going on around us? Do we focus on the day-to-day stuff? Or do we recognize that doesn't matter what has gone on, He loves us so much that He has poured out His Spirit upon us and to make us new creatures and to draw us close to Him. Verse 11, so the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for today is holy. Do not be grieved. And all of the people went their way to eat and drink and send portions and rejoice greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. Do we take note of the things that God has declared over us? Do we rejoice in the fact that He has made us new creatures? That's our way of joy. That's our way of peace. That's our way of strength, knowing what God has done. Recognizing that we are not the same people we used to be. We are bought with a price. We are a peculiar people, called out and set apart. Praise God, I'm not who I was. Praise God, you're not who you were. That God is continuing to make us new creations, new people, continuing to change us from glory to glory, continuing to work in us to show His grace and love to the people around us. That means sometimes we have to go through things. But if Jesus can endure the cross for the joy set before Him, Scripture says that He learned obedience by the things that He suffered. Do we learn obedience by the things we go through, or do we just go through things and complain? Do we look at our circumstances as like, if God is allowing this to come into my life, He has something wondrous planned. I saw a quote from Steve Harvey just a couple of days ago, yesterday. Steve Harvey was saying that at the end of 2018, his contracts for television and radio things were all being canceled, and he said, those people aren't my source. If God allowed that door to close, it's because He has something else in mind. It may be I need more rest. It may be I need more time with my family. It may be He has something else coming. But if I look at the things that come up as though someone else is controlling my life, or someone else is limiting my possibilities, they don't control me. I belong to God. Can we declare that we belong to Him? And if we belong to Him, anything that comes into our life, God is already knows about. He's not surprised by it. He has a purpose that He's going to work in it. Whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, He has a purpose He's going to work in it. So do we rejoice in the fact that no matter what comes up, I belong to Him. I'm in the palm of His hands. No matter what comes our way, we are in the palm of His hands, and He is at work in our lives. He is at work changing us. He is at work molding us. He is at work teaching us. He is at work directing us. Because He has a plan that we don't understand yet. He has a purpose that we haven't figured out. But He's the one who sees the end from the beginning. In Proverbs, twice, it says, there's a way that seems right to man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. Another wording of it says, the ways thereof are the ways of destruction. But when we commit our ways to Him, when we trust God to lead us and direct us, when we trust God to work in our circumstances, when we don't try to figure out, what are you doing, God? When we don't try to say, God, if you just do it this way, everything would go great. When we trust Him that You are Lord, we are bought with a price. We are new creations. We are in Your hands. Do with us as You will. When that is our focus, when that is our attitude, when that is our understanding, we can see God do some wondrous things. Where am I at? Romans 8, beginning with verse 18, Paul talking, says, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." Do we focus on the glory that's going to be revealed? Do we focus on the fact that God is doing a perfect work? Or do we just look at our circumstances? Verse 19, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our own body." As we feel the Holy Spirit working in us, as we feel God nudging us, are we anxious to see God's work completed in us? Well, this is a little painful. This is a little uncomfortable. This is crucifying my flesh. This is hard on me. But Lord, what You're doing is a wondrous thing. I desire to see You at work. Whatever it takes, Lord. Do we pray that? Do we cry out to Him to make us more like Jesus? Or do we say, "Oh Lord, make me comfortable"? "Lord, make me comfortable" is not a really good prayer. You know that. It's not real spiritual. You know, Paul says at one point, "I die daily." You look through in one of the Thessalonians, Paul is talking about some of the things he went through. Like, that does not sound like a pleasant walk. We talked about Job in our Bible study. He's talking about the things that happened in his life. All these things have gone on in people's lives. To seek God, to draw close to God. Deb, I'm going to skip the 1 Corinthians, go right to Mark. So Mark 10, beginning with verse 28. Peter said to Jesus, "See, we have left all and followed You." So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sister or father or mother or wife or children." I'm sure that's supposed to be "or friends" or "lands." I have "or ands." "For my sake in the Gospels, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mother and children and lands, with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. God says, the things that we lay down willingly are not lost. The things that we set aside so that we can focus on Jesus. Things that we set aside so that we can draw close. Things that we can set aside. The things that would hold us back, that we would lay them down to seek Him, are not lost. But He also says that there's a blessing in this present life. So it's not just in the sweet by and by. It's not just over in glory land. It's not just on that beautiful day. It's God is continuing to work in us each and every day. And if we have the joy in what God is doing, the fact that He is, if we have joy in the fact that God is working in us, then we can enjoy the things that we're going through, even when the things aren't pleasant. Part of the scripture that I just passed over in 1 Corinthians says, if in this life only we have hope in Jesus, we're of all men most miserable. We don't just have hope of Jesus in this life. We have it in this life and in the life to come. But we have it in this life. There is joy in this life. There's a Michael Card song that said, Joy in the Journey. I didn't think you were familiar with it, so we didn't put it on the music list for today. But talks about having joy even in the things that we go through. Even when things aren't pleasant, because joy isn't based on circumstances. Joy is based on an attitude of heart. We can be joyful even when things don't go right. We might not be superficially happy, but we can be deep down joyful, knowing that God is at work and just recognizing what He has already done. If we take the time to set up, as they did in the Old Testament, pillars of testimony, this is where God did this. This is where God did this. Do we set those up in our own lives? Do we recognize the milestones in our own lives? Whether it's a journal, whether it's the Our Blessings book that Deb brought out today. Write down what God has done and just remember the things that God has already done in our lives. How He's changed us, how He's been at work in us, how He's answered prayers. Whether it's answered prayers, whether it's some sort of unexpected blessing, whether it's keeping us safe on the road, whether it's the strength to face a day when we didn't think we had the energy to do it. What has God blessed you with? And are you grateful? Are you joyful in the fact that He still has us in the palm of His hands? He is still at work, no matter what the circumstances look like. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. And if we recognize that, we can have joy in the fact that we are not alone. We can have joy in the fact that God is continuing to watch over us. We can have joy in the fact that as we go down the road and be having a conversation. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. This has happened to me many times. Be going down the road, Deb and I will be talking, just having a conversation. Turn the radio on and it'll come out of somebody else's mouth. Just an answer to what we're talking about. That God is at work. Answers to prayer. Obviously, the person speaking on the radio had no idea about the conversation Deb and I were just having. Especially since in many cases it's a pre-recorded message. But then all of a sudden, right at the right time, it is an exact instance talking directly into what we are saying. I don't know about you. That reminds me that God is paying attention. And that gives me such a blessing. Knowing that He is paying attention to the words of my mouth. He pays attention to the things going on in my life. So I'm not alone. I'm never alone. You're never alone. He is still at work. He is still directing. He is still guiding you. Do we have joy in the fact that we're not alone? We certainly can. Jesus, we started this with the scripture in Hebrews saying, for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross and despised the shame and is now set down at the right hand of the Father. Jesus knew what He was facing. in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. This is my reason for being here." Knew what was coming, but also knew what was on the other side. We don't know necessarily what's coming most of the time. But if we know that God has us, we know that God is at work in us, we can have joy in facing whatever does come up. I challenge you to focus on what God is doing in your life, what God has in mind for you, what He's already declared, and take our eyes off of our circumstances and off of the situations. Every day we get up is a new day. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Every day we get up, Lord, Your tender mercies are fresh and new each morning. No matter what comes our way today, You have us engraved in the palm of Your hand. Lord, You inhabit the praises of Your people. I praise Your name. And just draw close to who He is. Get to know Him in a deeper and deeper way. Draw ever so close. And not worry about the circumstances, not worry about the situation, not worry about the opposition, not worry about the turmoil, not worry about the stress. We're told not to worry about what we will eat, what we will drink, or what we will put on. We are told that the Lord knows the things we have need of, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. I challenge you to do that. Rejoice in what God has already done, but rejoice in the fact that He has declared that when He looks at sees us, He sees us as a finished work. God who sees the end from the beginning, and as He sees the end from the beginning, the end being a finished work, God, that's what He's focused on. And everything that we go through on the way there is leading toward what God has already declared. For the joy that was set before Jesus, He endured the cross, despised the shame. For the joy that is set before you, will you take up your cross daily and follow Him? Father, we thank You. We thank You, Father, for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that You are at work in us. We thank You, Father, for Your graciousness. Lord, for Your love, for Your blessing. We thank You, Father, for Your Spirit outpoured within us. We thank You, Lord, that there is rejoicing in heaven for each and every one of us, Lord, as we laid down our ways to seek Your ways, as we laid down the reins of our life to surrender our lives to Jesus, that there is rejoicing in heaven, and the rejoicing in heaven does not stop. So, Father, for the rejoicing in heaven, to the joy in our own heart, for the things that You are doing, for the things that You have planned, that You be glorified in us, Father, that You continue to change us from glory to glory, that You continue to draw us by Your Spirit. Father, correct us as we need correcting. Direct us as we need directing. Purify us and just work through us, Father, and help us, Father, to be mindful that You see the finished work. And You are bringing us toward that finished work. So, Father, that we rejoice in the fact that You already have perfection in mind for us. Father, we give You praise. We give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.